The red. All right. Second initiation. I'm unmuted. Thank you. So where's the second initiation? Uh-oh. There it is. No? It's the wrong one. Uh-oh. There we go. Okay, friends. This is our last little bit together. I thank you for your patience. And for your persistence, and you no longer have to endure anything after this. What a sense of personal relief will come over us when we can release our point of tension. That's the big test. Sometimes people, after they've had a very strong intensive, they go home and they get sick. They shouldn't do that because, you know, they just let down. So do sustain your point of tension. And of course, in this meditation that we've been doing here at night, on behalf, that will help us sustain our point of tension. I'm going to study more in that book, the fourth book, to be helpful. All right, here we go. We're on our way. Is everything on? Looks like it. As regards the individual initiate who is to undergo the initiation of the baptism, the effect of the six-ray energy upon his nature is easily apparent, owing to the extreme potency of the second aspect of the personality in the three worlds, his astral body or nature. So basically, this is the initiation of the astral body, in a sense. It is run by the six-ray, and the astral body is the most potent of all of the vehicles, generically, because of the condition of our solar logos. And so that will make for a pretty strong demonstration, pretty noticeable. Okay. In the early stages of the impact of the six-ray energy upon his emotional nature, a perfect vortex of force is generated. Lately, we've heard about a perfect storm. People like to refer to a perfect storm, you know, that's been coming in the lingo of people for the last 4 or 5 years. A perfect vortex of force is generated. His emotional reactions are violent and compelling. His glamours are intensified and controlling, and his aspiration steadily mounts, but is at the same time limited and hindered by the strength of his devotion to some sensed ideology. So the aspiration is limited and hindered by the strength of devotion to some sensed ideology. Is this good or is this bad? I'm not sure. Later, under the influence of an increasing soul contact, so you see, we have a lot of time in which to cultivate this sixth ray approach to the second initiation. Many lives. He keeps on saying many lives. Some people have said, you know, everybody has different theories. Some people have said, well, it takes 7 lives for sure. Other people have said, well, it's more like 15. Then, you know, some people say 20. You know, it's even possible to extend it to 30. It's a long time. It can be over thousands of years that the first compared with the second initiation is taken. As far as great beings like the Christ and the Buddha go, we have no idea in the depths of time when that happened. Probably for the Christ, it happened in Lemuria. Probably. I think you could take the first initiation in Lemuria. And the third initiation happened in Atlantis. So somewhere in there, the second initiation had to have happened. That was so long ago, we can't record. And DK doesn't even find it useful to tell us. He does tell us that the Buddha and the Christ took the third initiation in a fourth-ray ashram in Atlantis, which means they were both fourth-ray souls at the time. Later, under the influence of an increasing soul contact, itself the second aspect of his essential divinity, his emotional, chemic, and aspirational nature becomes quieter and is more controlled through the agency of mind. So he's probably approaching the second initiation where he has spiritual intelligence, mental illumination. His alignment becomes astral, mental, soul. So the mental body figures into it. We sometimes forget how the mind really is involved in the second initiation, not to forget the role of Venus and its fifth ray. When this state of consciousness has been achieved, The waters of the astral body are quiet and can reflect the beautiful and the true. This sounds like we're getting near the state of the initiation. The quieting of the astral body, reflecting the beautiful and the true, and when his emotions have been purified by intense self-effort, then the disciple can step into the baptismal water. So, in other words, if we're in a violent, chaotic, emotionally responsive, reactive state, there is not going to be the second initiation. This quieting down has to occur under the influence of Venus. Maybe Neptune can help under some circumstances when not connected with Mars. Maybe Jupiter can help here too. These are perhaps quieting, optimistic planets. The disciple can then step into the baptismal waters. He is then subjected to an intense purificatory experience which, occultly speaking, enables him forever to step out of the waters and be no longer in danger of drowning or of submergence. He can now walk on the surface of the sea and with safety proceed onward towards his goal. Isn't that wonderful? And the whole idea of walking on water, connecting walking on water to the second degree, is, I think, a wonderful analogy. There is a magician around. I forget whether his name is David Blaine or some other magician, but unless I was terribly fooled, I did see him walk on water. And everybody was totally astonished when they saw that as well. I mean, there was a swimming pool, and they showed what it was, and there was nothing in there, and he basically walked across the swimming pool. So I guess the magicians are coming back. He obviously has some pretty strong cities, you know, and he's using them at the moment. He levitates and he does other things and just kind of demonstrates these abilities. But anyway, we're more interested in the psycho-spiritual meaning of walking on water and no longer to be engulfed in danger of drowning and of submergence. Obviously, anybody who undertakes the white magical process in a state of emotional chaos is really asking for trouble, because we know there that the discussion of drowning is a very great possibility. And here, from the secure position of the second degree, or thereabouts, I would say we can begin to learn the white magic and the rules for the mental and emotional plane, I would say. Okay, I guess I can't, enlarge too much about anything, because we do have quite a bit to do, and we'll see whether we finish or not. The effect of six-ray activity upon the mental nature is, as you may imagine, a tendency, first of all, to crystallizing of thought, a reaction to imprisoning ideologies, and a fanatical mental adherence to mass ideals with no understanding of their relationship to the need of the time or to their intended creative aspects. In other words, I just love this, this is what I want, and there's tunnel vision involved. So he says, and you may have remembered this, that if you combine the sixth and the fifth ray, you will get what he called idée fixe, or idée fixée, the fixed idea, so a rigid adherence to one line of thought alone until you can become almost a maniac with that fixed ideal. The fixity is from the fifth ray, and the mania is from the sixth ray. Later, as the disciple prepares for the second initiation, and obviously he has to prove that he is no longer the victim of an imprisoning ideology at that initiation, these tendencies are transformed into spiritual devotion to human welfare. So at first he can be dedicated to an ideology, but later devotion to human welfare comes out, and to one-pointed adherence to the plan of hierarchy. This is the devotion that will save him. And so, in a way, we have dedication, turmoil, glamour, and all the rest as you pursue your one and only ideology fanatically, and then devotion to spiritual welfare of humanity and one-pointed adherence to the plan. All emotional reaction to the hierarchy of master fades out, and the disciple can now work without being hindered by constant astral disturbances. And that is, the second initiation. You know how sometimes people feel they've been contacted by a master and they go into kind of an ecstasy about it and they have to tell everybody about it. And sometimes they feel the master is telling them what to tell other people all the time. So they will come to you and say, the master told me to tell you this. And that is a little bit irritating, you know, and it goes on a while. And you'll know that these people are simply in a state when they want to be the intermediary between you and the master. That it just doesn't work that way. And if one is to have an internal dialogue or conversation with the master, you don't need an intermediary. You're going to do this by yourself. The great Alice Bailey teaching here, of course, used the intermediary of Alice Bailey, but it was a great mental soul teaching and the only efficient way it could happen. And remember, we read the other day that many of you have contact with me, but you don't even know it. So we have to cultivate that inner approach to the master in our own way. Okay. The effect of the sixth ray upon the integrated personality of the disciple can only be described as producing a condition wherein he is definitely astral, Buddhic in his nature. I'm not sure that all six-ray personalities are like this. Some of DK's people who were working on the third degree had a six-ray personality, but their mental ray was of a different nature, either ray 5 or ray 1. But in general, the integrated personality under the six-ray makes them, it seems, bypass the mind. Gradually, his one-pointed emotional effort towards orientation to the soul makes him an aspiring point of tension, oblivious of crisis and firmly anchored in the love which streams forth from the soul. This is marvelous. These old commentary stanzas are just marvelous, and they give us an idea of the developmental phases that people pass through. The astral Buddhic disciple, intuitional and aspirational. The mind is not interfering too much, but eventually, remember, second degree, spiritual intelligence, mental illumination. An aspiring point of tension, oblivious of crisis, and firmly anchored in the love which streams forth from the soul. This is really on the 2-4-6 line, and he's saying the sixth ray affects the integrated personality in this manner. Does this mean the person is a sixth ray soul, or just that there is the sixth ray coming in at this time of initiation and has this general effect? Let me sum up what I've said about the effect of the six-ray energy. Okay, this will be good, helpful for us. The energy of the six-ray produces two major results: an embryonic realization of the will nature, which determines the life of the initiate, because desire transforms into will, and it has a very peculiar and close relationship. That transition can be made. So, an embryonic reaction which determines of the will nature. An embryonic reaction, intensified desire, is in a way embryonic will. A pronounced conflict between lower and higher self. This reveals to the initiate the ancient conflict between the emotional nature and true realization. Psychism and versus true realization. Many of us are caught in psychism. Psychism can be used, but it can also be a great veil upon true realization, which is minimally Buddhic and probably even Atmic in nature. So the sixth ray reveals this. This brings about a basic reorientation of the life of the initiate and of humanity as a whole, some new ideal or goal to strive after. Number two, in connection with humanity, the effects of the sixth ray are as follows. The development of the tendency to clarify the world atmosphere, thus releasing the energy of goodwill. In an unclarified atmosphere, goodwill cannot be released, and goodwill reciprocally helps to clarify the world atmosphere, at least among those who can actually possess it and turn it loose upon humanity, namely the new group of world servers who are already focused in the Ajna Center. So remember, getting clear is what we've been talking about, and all those people in the Glamour group had a lot of six-ray in their nature. B, the production of a condition wherein the race of men can take either the first or second initiation. Let us never forget that. When people criticize the sixth ray, we must remind them that the sixth ray made it possible for initiation to be taken. Sixth ray made it possible to take the first two initiations. Number C, the sudden and powerful emergence of the world ideologies. He's summarizing for us because he realizes he actually made a fairly complicated presentation just now. A sudden and powerful emergence of the world ideologies. We're in a tremendous conflict of ideologies right now, and they are very largely not only economic ideologies, but religious ideologies, which are the most dangerous at this time. D, a basic transformation within the astral plane itself, which is producing points of crisis and points of tension, which, again, he said, promotes initiation. Point three, in relation to the individual initiate, the sixth ray produces, A, an acute situation wherein a vortex of force is generated in the astral Buddhic candidate. In this vortex, all emotional and ideological reactions of the aspirant are intensified. There was a man who was given the possibility of taking the second initiation. Well, his emotional condition became very disturbed, and he got short with his students and very critical with them, and he didn't like anything he was saying, he didn't like anything they were saying. He became very irritated. And DK basically said to him, well, look, you know, your emotional condition is not normal. It is the result of you preparing to take the second initiation, which apparently he did not take, actually. But this shows you can get quite whipped up before that initiation as the purification occurs. Later, when this subsides, the initiate's alignment becomes astral mental soul. So he changes from the astral Buddhic initiate or candidate, from the astral Buddhic candidate, or at least what, applicant? What is he? To something which will allow the initiation, which is the alignment of astral mental soul. In other words, what we see is that the mind really gets into the picture. And the throat center especially, interestingly, is stimulated at the second initiation, and the relationship between the number 3 and 6 is established by DK, just like between 1 and 2, 2 and 4, 3 and 6. Those are established. So the throat center stimulation is understandable in terms of the mental development, the spiritual intelligence and mental illumination of a kind which must be developed. D. There takes place in connection with this mental vehicle a crystallization of all thought and a fanatical adherence to mass idealism. Obviously, he's not there yet, because the initiate of the second degree has to demonstrate freedom from fanatical idealism, and especially of a mass nature. Now, you know, kind of think about it. There's Cancer. There's Neptune as the ruler. The mass consciousness, the sixth ray, it's all there. Mass thought to which one adheres, and I would even say that the political parties, as I've been trying to emphasize, are part of this mass thought. E. These tendencies are later transformed into spiritual devotion to human welfare, and that's the kind of devotion we're talking about, which frees the man from glamour. That's the type of devotion, not the kind of personal, emotional devotion to a limited ideal or to a single person, but something wider. So let's call it this. Let's say that the wider devotion, not development, devotion frees the candidate from glamour. The personality becomes definitely astro-Buddhic in nature and expression, so he becomes intuitive, a higher refined emotion, accompanied by flashes of intuition, which can begin to be cultivated along the 2-4-6 line around the time of the second degree. Astro-Buddhic. But that doesn't mean he's focused on the Buddhic plane. You will see, therefore, How immediate and important is the opportunity confronting humanity today? Vast numbers of men will take the first steps towards the unfolding of the Christ consciousness and thus pass through the first initiation. So what have we had so far? We've had the discussion of thousands, of millions, and now we have the word vast numbers in relation to the first degree. It's what, you know, there are billions of people, but if there are millions, that is actually vast numbers, relatively considered. So maybe even the numbers are not even decided yet as to who will take this. But the Christ is getting closer, and because he's getting closer along with the hierarchy, initiatory pressure is on, and more people will be taking it in anticipation of his coming. Vast numbers will step towards the unfolding of the Christ consciousness. This often, I might well say usually, takes place without the conscious realization in the physical brain. Now elsewhere, when we were talking about the seventh ray, he said it was registered in the physical brain. Do you remember? So we have to, you know, work with this apparent contradiction. This first initiation is, and always has been, mass initiation, even when individually registered and recorded. And that's the key, the secret. There is some mechanism in the initiation process which allows the individual to register the initiation as if it is an individual event, even though it may be happening simultaneously to a group or to many. And it will have to happen to many, and yet the individual said, what did I go through? He will say, what did I go through, even though everyone else is going through it too. So there must be a way that the Christ has, or the, well, I don't know, the Christ and the other initiators to replicate themselves, so that it is experienced individually, and yet it is a mass experience. One day, I want to think about that. Thousands of aspirants in every country, as a result of conscious effort to understand, there's your word, Anne, understand, the great Pisces word, the conscious effort to understand, will stand before the initiator and undergo the baptism initiation. So that's thousands. He hasn't yet said millions when it comes to the second initiation, has he? Or has he? I don't recall it. Yeah, well, yeah, thousands in every country. So let's just say there's 100 countries, and there's thousands, 5,000, 500,000, or whatever, you know. It will be in the thousands. Maybe the exact numbers are not important, but the masters know these things. We'll stand before the initiator and undergo the baptism initiation. Bread and water are the symbols of these first two initiations. You know, they also used to be the symbol of going to jail. When you went to jail in the United States, they used to say you will eat bread and water. Interesting. Maybe they feed you better in Denmark when you go to jail? I don't know. My parents at the time were always threatening to send me to jail. And they said you'll eat only bread and water there. And then I behaved. Okay. Bread and water are the symbols of these first two initiations. Both are basic essentials for life in the physical sense and are equally basic in their implications spiritually, this the initiate knows. These two initiations are the only two of significant importance at the time owing to their relative immediacy. We might have to wait until the age of Capricorn occurs 2,300 years from now before we really get a big flood of third degree initiates, since that particular sign is so associated with the third degree. Okay. Millions and thousands, millions and thousands. It is the return of the Christ which has brought these subjective spiritual tendencies of mankind to the surface and made these two initiations possible. That's an amazing thought. The fact that the Christ agreed to return in physical incarnation, or maybe just return, is what brought the tendency towards initiation forward and made it possible for these millions and thousands to take these initiations. So our debt to the Christ, I suppose, is completely, poorly understood, and one day it will be completely revealed and it will be astonishing. It is the activity of the seventh ray of order and the sixth ray of idealism which has generated the tendency in humanity towards the white magic of right human relations. And notice, this is the second time he's mentioning the white magic of right human relations, and he includes the sixth ray, the ideal of love in action and of goodwill expressed in right human relations. Sixth ray is included. They have fostered the trend to ideological control of the human consciousness. Okay, well, that maybe that's better than mass consciousness. It is the passing out of the Piscean Age with its type of energy and the coming into power of the Aquarian Age with its potent purificatory energies, cleaning the stables, right, and its quality of synthesis and universality, which will make the new world order possible. So let's not forget the healing, purificatory energies of Aquarius. It'll be a great time for esoteric healing, which is basically group in its implications, and has to do with the transmission of subtle energy. Piscean energy does also purify, doesn't it? But it's a little different, isn't it? It purifies through sorrow, largely, in the emotional body. And there's a much more scientific purification that goes on with the Aquarian energies. It is apparent that the opportunity confronting humanity has never been so promising, and that the corporate relation and fusion of these energies makes the manifestation of the Son of God and the appearance of the Kingdom of God an inevitable happening in the planetary life. So it seems like the Aquarian and Piscean energies, which are now joined together in a 50,000 year cycle, Pisces here and Aquarius here, are making the manifestation of the Son of God possible. We have two great ages, 25,000 year Pisces and coming 25,000 years of Aquarius. So we're living in extraordinary times, and of course we often forget that, but we should wake up every morning and tell ourselves, remind ourselves of the extraordinary times in which we're living, and try to make the day reflect the extraordinary nature of our opportunity. As we study the other ray energies and their initiatory effect, we shall not be able to indicate a great deal in relation to humanity itself. Well, why not? Because humanity's not there yet, right? The first two initiations, which are implemented by the Christ and which are under the supervisory probation of the spiritual hierarchy, are as yet possible to humanity. It's almost as if from the third initiation on, something involving Shambhala and the monad is coming in. So these are the two initiations which really make the difference for humanity. And if we are members of the new group of world servers, it is assumed that the real member of such a group is a second degree initiate, on the outlook for first and second initiates who can be recognized and brought in. The initiation of the Transfiguration is not yet for the mass of men. We can, however, study the effects of these rays where the individual disciple is concerned, because the later initiations from the third onward are administered by the Lord of the world from his high place in Shambhala. Okay, here's how it goes. The first initiations, the Christ. Initiation 3, 4, 5, Sanat Kumara. Initiation 6, a great unknown existence lightly hinted at in Initiation Human and Solar. Initiation 7, the full planetary logos himself is the initiator. As far as I've been able to gather, that's who the initiators seem to be. In the present world period, these initiations are individually administered and registered and are undergone consciously and with an entirely awakened awareness, meaning you're alive and awake in your causal body. In other words, fully conscious, fully conscious in your causal body. Of course, you may forget, but at least at the time, you know what's going on. Yes, Martha? Okay, is it so that after a certain age, you cannot take initiation? Actually, it's somewhat the reverse of that. It means, he says, that after the age of 50, it's much easier to take initiation. Yes, yes. How old are you, Martha? Yeah, that's right. He said at 78, it's unusually propitious to take initiation. Well, you know, he does say that the soul can work much more easily through an older body, because there's just less disturbance in general from all of the desire nature and all that kind of thing. So initiation is more likely to occur later in life than earlier. There may be recapitulations earlier. Now, you know, if you're 90 years old, I don't know. I suppose it would depend on what condition you were in. You know, they don't want to put the rod of initiation on you and you just fall over dead. You know, I mean, it's important. It's important to be able to withstand that particular energy. But all of this is under very specific scientific management from the inner side, and they know what we can take and how much can be given and at what time and when we're ready. So we just have to let that be in the control of the higher-ups, the chiefs, who know these things, and meanwhile simply do our best to serve and to prepare in the ways we are given to prepare. Anyway, no, he said, later the better, in a way. It will be apparent to you that I shall necessarily have more to say about Anantha's first three initiations and the ray effects upon the initiate and upon humanity than will be possible when the higher initiations come into consideration. Matter of fact, I think he really only gives about one page to the seventh initiation. When it comes to the eighth and ninth, it gets to be like little half paragraphs. The effects of ray impacts in the first three initiation come via the soul. Now, via the soul is an interesting word, because in a way, he doesn't always say this. He sometimes says that the third initiation is taken on the monadic ray. He sometimes says, and that at the period following the second initiation, you may transfer into the ashram of the master who is on the same ray as your monadic ray. It was so, I think, with this person, PDW, maybe that was his name. Anyway, he was that Jesuit priest that I told you about, who went work for Master Moria after he was killed in the war. But first he worked for DK on the second ray, and then he was transferred into Moria's ashram. The implication to me is he had taken the second initiation, and he could go into the ashram, which was on the same ray as his monadic ray. But here he says the first three initiations come via the soul, and the initiate is, during this period, a struggling aspirant. Sounds normal here. Struggling aspirant under the inspiration and stimulus of the hierarchy of which he is becoming increasingly aware. So, in other words, there is contradictory references here. There are contradictory references about whether the monadic is involved in the third initiation. Elsewhere, it seems to be a transitional thing. You know, the monad is coming in, and there's something about that monadic ray which becomes important at the third degree. After the third initiation, which is in reality, as you well know, the first major initiation, the ray energy is applied, if I may use such an inadequate word, via the spiritual triad, utilizing the Antikarana. This word via or via is very interesting, because it's almost like it all comes from the monad. He says it comes via the soul, then it comes via the triad, which usually means that the soul or the triad is an intermediary for the energy to pass through, but it doesn't originate in that soul. So I wouldn't be surprised if the monad, who is the initiate, really, the monad is the initiate. Remember when we discussed that just yesterday, and I said, who is the initiate? And Gisla says it's the monad, and that was precisely the case. It's as if it all comes from the monad. Even at the first initiation, the monad gets involved on the soul level. Very interesting, although the brain doesn't realize that. So where does this initiatory power really come from? We have to think in terms of the monad, possibly, and this word via is very interesting. Okay. After the fourth initiation, the effects are felt predominantly in the initiate's group and in his field of service. Okay. There he constitutes a point of tension and precipitates great points of crisis. In other words, the initiate is a group event, almost, and his initiation is causing great developments in the field in which he is working. His own points of crisis and of tension are existent, but, mysteriously, only in relation to the consciousness of the group in which he plays an increasingly potent part. So there's a mystery involved here, and he is much more group-oriented than he is concerned about his own little ring-pass knot. And these crises and tensions are reflected in the groups he hopes to help. So, but he usually causes a disturbance of some kind, not because he deliberately does it, but because of the energies which are released through him. The groups affected by the progressive initiatory process to which disciple is being subjected are three in number. So you are being subjected to initiation, and groups will be affected. And these effects differentiate and condition his group service according to the initiation being undergone. It is from this angle we must study the initiation, the ray effects, and the results produced within the three groups. So if you are undergoing initiation, these are the groups which will be affected by the process through which you are passing. One. The group in which the initiate is working upon the physical plane and which is an externalization existing on the mental and astral planes of some phase of work sponsored by the new group of world service. So this is more an exoteric group. All disciples and initiates in physical manifestation are at this time members of the new group of world service, that group, which is the focal point of the present effort being made by the hierarchy. Through it, spiritual energy from five of the ashrams is flowing. What are these ashrams? Flowing through the new group of world service. A, and here, you know, this is an important section here. A, the master KH, flowing through the new group of world service. The master KH, particularly in regard to the work of education. And DK is, in a way, in his ashram, interestingly enough. The ashram of Master DK, myself, particularly in regard to aspirants for initiation. The ashram of Master R, particularly in regard to the reorganizing and the reconstruction of Europe from the point of view of economics. Do you think he might be a little concerned at the moment? Okay. The ashram of Master Moria, as he seeks to find, influence, and direct the activities of workers in the political field throughout the planet, I'll bet he overshadowed Mandala. Number E, the ashram of Master Hilarion, as he supervises the discoveries and the application of such discoveries of the scientific movement in the world today. It's not very much like he was in biblical times. He's now on his fifth monadic ray, so he has a different kind of job. And meanwhile, since the fifth ray ashram has been withdrawn temporarily, or at least, what would you say, weakened a bit, or, you know, de-emphasized, his job may be, we are told, to train psychics in more scientific observation, and he has a lot of work to do in relation to the Buddhic plane. They are multi-talented individuals, these masters. They can do a lot of things. Okay, so the new group of world servers is affected by those five ashrams, and all of us as disciples are members of that, and somehow the real member, the real established member in the new group of world servers is a second degree initiate. So that is, should minimally be our objective as individuals who are working in the way we are. Number two, the group which may regard itself consciously as the initiate's own group, in the sense that he is slowly influencing those around him. Remember, if you're being initiated, these are the groups which are going to be affected by your initiation. So in a way, this larger group of sort of new group of world servers, and in which you may be working externally in some way, the group in which you are working upon the physical plane, which is an externalization of the new group of world servers, one of the C groups, something having to do with your profession, that sort of thing. Now here's another group that's going to be affected by your initiation, okay? The group which may regard itself consciously as the initiate's own group, as the initiate's own group, in the sense that he is slowly influencing those around him, collecting the personnel and forming the nucleus of the ashram. by means of which he may someday serve the world. So a number of disciples, without really knowing it consciously, are gathering their future ashrams. All those who are taking initiation do not necessarily create their own ashrams, though a large number do so. The work of those initiates who do not form an ashram is mysterious in the extreme from the point of view of aspiring humanity, and there's little I can say about the subject. These initiates work in connection with plans emanating from Shambhala, of which humanity can know nothing. They work with the three subhuman kingdoms. They're some of the scientific ashrams. They're maybe on the mental plane rather than on the Buddhic plane. They work with the three subhuman kingdoms in nature, each of which has its own peculiar and specific band of initiate workers. Mineral, vegetable, animal, special initiates, masters working with these kingdoms. It's hard to form an ashram out of those kingdoms, right? If they do not do this, they transfer into certain groups of workers who are engaged in activities connected with the deva or angel evolution. Now, you know, Master Serapis at the present time is said to be working with the deva or angel evolution to prepare for the great renaissance coming, in which devas and humans will have to cooperate, or in relation to the manifestation of energies about which I can tell you nothing. Okay, so these are the peculiar, those who don't form ashrams, they do some of these things that he's just talking about. We shall deal only with the expansion of consciousness and the experience of those initiates who remain in their activities and aims related to humanity and to the hierarchy. Okay, that's what we're going to concentrate. It might be pointed out that the work of the deva evolution comes under the ray energy of the third Buddha of activity. Who are the Buddhas of activity? Members of the council in Shambhala, former planetary logoi from a previous solar system, the closest workers of Sanat Kumara, and the three exoteric Kumaras, as they are called. The work with humanity comes under the influence of the ray energy of the second Buddha of activity, who embodies in a most peculiar sense the conditioning energy of the hierarchy. So there's a line of connection between the second Buddha of activity, whose name probably we have been given by HPB, although it's hard to know exactly which it is, who embodies in a most peculiar sense the conditioning energy of hierarchy, a great secondary energy. And isn't this interesting? The work with the subhuman kingdoms of nature is under the energy stimulation of the first Buddha of activity. I find that interesting because there they are involved with the will aspect, and yet they reach down into the subhuman kingdoms, maybe the mineral kingdom especially. Okay. Each of these great energizing lives, Buddhas of activity, works through certain masters and initiates of the sixth initiation. There's a bit of information for us. Chohans, right? These masters work in full consciousness upon the atmic plane. Okay, sixth degree initiates can work in full consciousness upon the atmic plane, the plane of the spiritual will. From that high level, they function as transmitting agents for the energy of one of the three Buddhas of activity. That's a piece of information that I have never really consciously registered with the same impact. These three Buddhas are the creative agents of the planetary logos and are wielders of the law of evolution. The will to evolve comes under the third ray, and in general, the Buddhas of activity are expressions of the third ray, and were planetary logoi in the previous solar system, which was conditioned largely by the third ray. So there are Chohans, the Buddhas are working through them, devas, humanity, and the subhuman kingdoms. Why is he telling us this here? I thought this was about the sixth ray. Anyway, he's telling us who we will influence when we take initiation, the general professional group we're in, the group we're gathering around ourselves, and what is the last one here? The ashramic group of which the initiate is a part. This is also influenced if he takes initiation, and within which his influence or spiritual radiation is increasingly felt. So what are the three? Let's just call them in some way. We'll call that the professional group, the group, the initiate is gathering. Sorry. And the ashramic group. group. Okay. Those are the three that are influenced by his initiation. Now, what's practical about this? If you rise, those you are associated with will also rise. If you fall, the same is the same, you know. If we are candidates for initiation, are actually approaching this, we cannot help but influence in a very positive way those with whom we are associated. It may be a disturbing way for some, but it will be positive. So we will, in our professional work and those we are associated with, they will notice the difference. In the group that we may gather with ourselves as the focal point, they will notice the difference. And even in the ashram, they also will notice the difference. So we are responsible to many more than just ourselves alone. And this difference will automatically be noticed. Not like you have to say, notice this, please, because it will just happen as a result of your radiation. Right? Okay. The awareness of the initiate and his ability to work consciously within this triplicity of groups become the major objective behind all his efforts once the third initiation is left behind. In other words, he's very conscious of his group effect. Why? Because concern about himself as the candidate is waning rapidly. You may have to think a lot about yourself and your own psychological problem when you're taking the first and second degree. But once you have taken the third degree, the group consciousness factor comes in so strongly, you are concerned about your world impact. And what are you called? This is DK's term for it, a world disciple. A world disciple as an initiate of the third degree. So obviously you are concerned now not just so much with your subjective situation and all of the conflicts here, but the ancient authority of the personality is left behind, and though you are not yet perfect, your work is the main thing, and the impact upon groups is the main thing. His magnetic radiation and the expression of his controlling energies prior to this stage of unfoldment is that of the soul working through the personality. Okay, fair enough. After the third initiation, this radiation and the energy expressed become increasingly monadic. Third degree types begin increasingly to express monadic energy on a broad scale related to the world, and that's because of the triad. The triad is now their point of reception, particularly via the Antikarana. So the energy expressed becomes more monadic. Three stages, let's see what they are. One, the stage wherein the lowest aspect of the spiritual triad, that of the abstract mind, becomes potent as the conveyor of ideas. Not the originator of ideas, but the conveyor of ideas. These are transformed by the initiate into ideals for the service of humanity. Welcome, come in, please. Okay. It's okay, it's just DK. He just wants to see how we're doing. All right. Number two. The stage wherein pure monadic energy, the stage wherein pure reason plus spiritual will makes him effective server of the plan and a transmitter in a progressive manner of the purpose underlying the plan. So he lumps pure reason and Atma together. How interesting. He doesn't take each part of the spiritual triad and say, first it's abstract, then it's Buddhic, then it's spiritual will. He says, first it is abstract mind, then it is Buddhic and Atmic together. A Buddhi and Atma actually reflect the monad. The third one is, he's getting more effective all the time, and this is what happens. This is what happens after the third initiation. By the way, we're just talking about the second initiation, but he's making a bridge here into his next discussion, right? The stage wherein pure monadic energy pours through him, focusing the will to good, as registered by the hierarchy, and a sense of universality, not a vague phrase, but a specific potency upon the physical plane. So he can focus the will to good and universality upon the physical plane, and he makes revelation of the monad. At the second degree, he expresses the monad. But at the third degree, he makes revelation of the monad and its synthesis and its unity and its oneness. A close study, he says, of these developing ranges of activity and of expanded consciousness will indicate why and how our planetary life is one immense synthesis of ordered activity. And DK tries to convey to us this synthesis, and as the monadic ray of our planetary logos emerges more and more, the ray of synthesis with the second ray soul, we are really going to understand this immense synthesis, and the initiate consciousness begins to understand it more and more. We're almost there, folks. The ray energies utilizing the created form world and the world of formless forms, that is the cosmic etheric level, how interesting, because after all, we're still on the cosmic plane, cosmic physical plane, but it's called the world of formless forms, constitutes a great and applied process of initiatory activity, governing, controlling, and conditioning every expression of divine life in the kingdoms of nature, subhuman, human, and superhuman. So on the cosmic ethers are all of these ray energies, and they utilize the lower worlds, and they also utilize the formless forms of the cosmic ethers to present a great opportunity for initiatory and synthesizing activity. This sounds like an interesting place to go. It is this world of active moving energies that the initiate penetrates and within which he consciously plays his part. So this is the world that awaits us after the third degree, this world of the formless forms, this world of the cosmic ethers, this world of active moving energies, which we play our part within. As you well know, the work of the aspirant today is to become a conscious, self-controlled, and spiritual worker in energy within the ring pass knot of the three worlds, and as I have frequently pointed out, to function first of all in control of his physical instrument, demonstrating this at the first initiation and during the succeeding initiatory processes. Secondly, to control his emotional or feeling nature, demonstrating that control at the second initiation, and at the third initiation, he has to bring into visible activity the mental element and thus function in the three worlds as a soul-infused personality utilizing the illumined mind as the fusing and synthesizing factor. So this is an excellent summation, again, of the three initiations. What was that other page I just gave you earlier? The one that had the, it was, what did it have? It just had one sentence on each initiation, and it was very good. 657? Okay. So here is again the accomplishments of the first several initiations. And it's always good to get these epitomes. And so did you say page 657? Did you say that? CF 657. Okay. All right. No, C for instance. C for instance. That's what it means. It means go to that page. 66. Yeah, it's not cosmic fire. This is one of those English terms or Latin terms. It means take a look at this. Okay. Oh, wow. You've done such a good job. Okay. These three groups are essentially points of planetary tension and are producers of crisis in the lives of individuals. Now, what three groups does he mean? Does he mean the groups through which his initiatory activity is demonstrating? Is that what he's talking about? These three groups, the state. Three groupings like that. First, second, and third degree initiates. Okay, let's look at it that way. These three groups are essentially points of planetary tension and are producers of crisis in the lives of the individuals influenced and in the hierarchy, as well as in the planetary life. So these three groups, and let's just ask here, does he mean the three initiatory groups? Is that what he means? As points of tensions. Points of tension. Thus, the conditions are created that make evolution possible. Someday, Oops, sounds like he's winding up here. Someday, the story of the evolutionary process will be written by an initiate of the Great White Lodge from the angle of its points of crises and the subsequent points of tension. What is it then? Yeah, those are the three groups. They have to do with your professional group, the group around you, and the group of the ashram. That possible too, right? This enables the living forms under this dual aspect to emerge into larger areas of consciousness. Initiation does this. The evolutionary process does this. Each kingdom in nature can itself be regarded as a point of tension. Okay. So can each initiatory group. So can each group with which you work within the sphere of being of the planetary logos. And each, in time and space, each kingdom is in process of generating those points of crisis which will produce a potent and often sudden moving forward on the path of evolution. So we sometimes hear people talk about the quantum leap, you know, that progress happens all at once rather than just gradually. Okay? So within these kingdoms, points of crises are produced which allow the kingdom to evolve suddenly. And there are also these forms which link the kingdoms. There are forms, we are told, between the mineral and vegetable kingdom, forms between the vegetable and animal, forms between the animal and the human, like the domesticated animals, and we, probably right now, are the forms between the human kingdom and the kingdom of souls. We ourselves will be looked at as nice domesticated aspirants and disciples. We are the pets of the hierarchy. Okay. And we are under training. Heal. Okay. Humanity is today in its present situation as a point of planetary crisis, generating such a point of tension that it will shortly be enabled to move forward into the new age, dispensation, culture, and civilization. The study of the individual aspirant parallels this. So basically, the more crisis there is, the faster the emergence. And so DK said, make your own crises. Sounds like good advice. And all you have to do that is to push forward with your will and your intention, or to stand, as you have said, stand in spiritual being, and the crisis will be generated around you, and the point of emergence will become possible. These thoughts and ideas must be borne in mind as we study the remaining three initiations confronting average humanity, namely up to the fifth initiation, and beyond that we have the sixth and the seventh. Okay, we have studied fairly carefully and with determined concentration one chapter in this book. We've also studied a few selections from the, whoop, don't fall out of the room, Martha. We have also studied the first and second initiations. This is called the door of initiation, and Martha's having trouble with it. We're standing before the portal, and we're closing it on our own side. Okay. Is it cold out there? I feel pretty warm myself. Okay. This is a bit of a blitz. I didn't know how long it would take. Bit of a blitz. But now we have a time to consider this. We've studied the first and second initiations. We've also studied the introduction to the second 400-page part of the book. We have studied carefully rule number one with its sentences. Within the fire of mind, focus within the head's clear light, let the group stand. The burning ground has done its work. The clear cold light shines forth, and cold it is. And yet the heat evoked by the group love permits the warmth of energetic moving out. Behind the group there stands the door, before them opens out the way. Together let the band of brothers onward move, out of the fire, into the cold, and towards new attention. So we have studied some very important things. This very first rule, orienting us to group work in the Aquarian age, and the necessity of achieving a group mental polarization, utilizing the lighted magnetic area of the brain, and identifying with the clear cold light, serving from that perspective, and yet moving onward into greater and newer tensions, which presents, of course, a challenge to the group at this time of crisis. So we have to discuss what that challenge may be, or at least you have to begin to discuss it, and I will be happy to join in at some point when you want my thought about the matter. We've also discussed the initiations, the first two, which are the ones that concern us. They are the ones that concern humanity as well. They are the ones that are particularly potent in terms of who we can help, who we can help as servers. They may be objectives for us, initiation one or two, but since we are disciples, initiation is the objective. If you are a disciple, initiation is the objective. If you are simply, you know, a probationer, disciple, an aspirant, kind of drifting along, going along according to what you like in the spiritual field or don't like in the spiritual field, then maybe initiation is not an objective. But if you are a true disciple, initiation is an objective. You're using Saturn, you're using Mercury, you're using discipline, and you intend to make progress for yourself and in your group. Now, I will ask, are there any reflections, let us say, upon our work for 5 days together? 5 intensive days, really? 5 days later, dot, dot, dot. We need stretchers, don't we, you know? Okay. Well, you don't exactly have to be carried out. I think it's okay. Yes, Anne. Surprisingly practical. Yes, agreed. Agreed with that. You might think that all of this is just remote, but remember there is a kind of a reflective place where we can interpret all of this, even though it's not the third degree. So let's say the rules are surprisingly practical, especially when it comes to methods of group work, which I think, you know, tends to concern the people who are in this room. You know, we've been through a lot over the years. We've had leaders. We've had people who have done great things for this group and continue to do so. The group has persisted. New people come in. Some die out, you know, but can be considered as workers on the other side, just like DK said. When they have passed on, do not stop thinking of them as members of the group. They are definitely members of the group. So when we have Karen and Benta and so forth, you know, who have been such avid members of the group, we have to continue to think of them in that way, obviously. I think the group is ready for another step, but what that step may be will have to be decided by the group members themselves over the next number of months, I do believe. I feel quite strongly that that is really emerging. What else would we like to say about our work together up to this point during these 5 concentrated days on material which is, of course, beyond us, of course, and yet somehow useful, somehow really useful, elevating, lifting us up into the possibility of triadal responsiveness, not only soul responsiveness. What else? Okay, spiritual triad is the center of awareness. After the causal body is, as you say, Martha, burnt out. Burnt out is good. I'm sure we can all experience various kinds of burnout on the way to our causal burnout. But this is a good expression. Lots of things conspire to destroy the causal body. Personality gets into the act. The jewel in the lotus gets into the act, the monad gets into the act, and many things create this final burning ground. What other things of essential importance in the overall theme of Rule 1, and the overall consideration of the first and second initiations. In other words, try to essentialize here. It's not only the particulars, which are very interesting, of course, but it has a lot to do with the essentials of the subject that we have been studying. Yes. Yes, I think that's absolutely one of the most important. Hold an ever higher point of tension. Every time I write the word pot on my computer, it comes out point of tension. So I better not be involved in writing down recipes. Okay. What else? An ever higher point of tension. Out of the fire, now, you know, look, it's obvious, isn't it, that a group of this nature is not just wanting to live a personality life. We have elements, of course, which relate to our personality. We have to keep it in reasonable condition and so forth. But in our group life, we're talking about something completely different, aren't we? We're talking about living the life of the group soul, as that can begin to receive energy from the great impersonal sphere. So we're talking about a higher form of living. We're talking about group soul, whoops, that's the way to spell group, group soul living, and triadal responsiveness via the antikarana. Now, if we really stop to think about what we're talking about here, that is going to repolarize us on a much different level than just a study group. Or, you know, let's take a look. Some people like book clubs. They get together and they read a book. Fine, that's good. We do that too. But the implications of what we do demand in our life a new type of polarization, a new type of fixation at a higher level. I'm wondering if we realize the challenge that we are being presented with at this time. Do we think we do? Wait a second, I better put on my glasses. I've got to see the whites of your eyes here. Do we think we do? Do we recognize the challenge being presented? Whenever I read this book, I am incredibly challenged. I keep on thinking about where I am, what I've done, and what there is to do. What we're being invited to do, almost demanded to do. Yes, Anne. Doors, yes. A new door has opened. Yes, I think we are in process of seeing that door opening at this time. Now, what may be the implications for this group, you know, which has been associated all these years with the DK College and with Humlegoren and so forth? This is going to require very serious group thought in the coming months. So let us see what the implications are. We have issues about, did something just run by? We have issues about the individual and issues about the group. Oh, was there an animal out there? Was the third kingdom trying to enter our domain? Two animals. Oh, I see. Well, yeah, that happens in the human kingdom too, I guess. Okay. What else? What else? Of course, we don't want to burn out either, do we? Not yet. I mean, we save our supernova for the fourth initiation, right? Okay. What else? Okay, just let me hear it again. A point. Dimensionless. I like that. Who said that? A point is a dimensionless condensation of being. Sounds like someone I know. A point is a dimensionless This gets into the philosophical mysteries, but suffice it to say we are all points. And when you really start to look for who we are, you won't find any dimension. You won't find any space. And maybe you won't even find any time. So the universe itself is just a point, only a point. Thanks for bringing that up. I'll have to remember it. Okay, what else? 5 days of grueling toil, relieved only by bread and butter, cake and cookies, and a few things out there. The occasional meal in which we all are invited to overeat. This is the only thing that has given us any rest from this process. Is there anything else you would like to say about what you have extracted? Or what may be motivating you? Or what the possible practical application may be of these learnings together? And you said... Oh, the screen looks funny. Oh, now here, let me show you. Such a Virgo remark. Okay, let me show you what to do about this. When the screen looks funny, just do this. Just do this, and then do that, and get lost, and I'm lost. Well, the screen doesn't look funny anymore, does it? It's just that I can't find where we were. One more. Oh, I'm worried now. Oh, now the screen doesn't look funny, does it? All right, we've had to go through all of that. Now the screen doesn't look funny. Okay, I was saying, boy, that's such a profound statement. I don't understand it, I thought to myself. You know, that was really, I think you came in there on the concrete mental plane, you know, and you threw me for a loop on that one. Any other thoughts? Maybe it will all hit you later. Yes. Yes. Which must be what? Impartial. Oh yes, okay. Right, exactly. These are the veils of Maya. They're called veils of Maya. Whoop, that's vehicles of manifestation. That won't work. Sometimes you have to be careful. I've used up that one. Veils of Maya. I would say that the majority of human beings are working with the second veil, wouldn't you? I mean the majority of initiates in the world. The majority of human beings who are going to take the first initiation in their millions will be working with the veil of impulsion. They are correlated with the initiations, these particular veils. Well, you know, from the larger point of view, we've talked, you know, we've had many specific pieces of information which have emerged. They are important, they are interesting, but the larger issue is a new form of group work, the possibility of group initiation eventually, if not in this life, then to come, the type of training needed by all of us if we are to qualify for this newer type of group association, which is potential for us. The desire to live more than a personal life, to live even more than a soul life, to live a spiritual life in the sense of the triad, even the desire to live a divine life, even that. DK presents us, he said, well, this book ought to be good for another 25 years. He said generation, actually. And I think this book is good for another 2,000 years. I mean, he has presented the hierarchical rules for group work in the Aquarian Age. That is a fantastic service. And maybe when we see these rules again in our future incarnations, we will have a head start in interpreting them and in living them through. You said that these rules are practical. So I guess we have to say, is there anything we can do to really make them practical? And I would say, you know, even if we could fulfill the first two sentences, within the fire of mind, focused within the head's clear light, let the group stand. Even that, that's one sentence. If we could fulfill that, that would be something. About the burning ground, well, just invoke the monad and hope. Okay, you know, so down it comes, and it's going to create a great conflagration. And then enter the clear, cold light, meaning a perspective in which we are cold to all the elemental lives, but in a state of soul triadal clarity. Increasingly, our study work, our meditation work, can give us this focus within the clear, cold light. And then, of course, we have to do something. And as you say, we are doing something. We have to have some service in the outer world, as well as the service to ourselves, in which we gain more information and understanding. So many of us are traveling, teaching, full moon meditations, we write letters to people, we communicate with them. We want to have that type of outer service as well. Inner orientation, service on the horizontal level, and also service to those who have not yet reached our own stage of understanding. And then maybe we can, you know, begin to fulfill these rules. If you have any questions or thoughts that you'd like to share at the moment, I suppose what I'm going to do, you know, I know we have our little meditation afterwards. We have, I want to see how many people have chased away here. Hold on. Oh, we have, oh, not bad. Considering. We still have a few people with us. That's nice. Whoop, they just left. Oh, wait a second. No, here they are. We have a number of people who are with us, and maybe we give them a little chance to say their last word, too. Is it hot back there? Are you in the sun? Are you being melted? Are you on the burning ground? No, I just want to know, you know. Actually, yeah, you know, some of us here are on the burning ground, that's for sure. Uh-oh. I'm trying to figure out whether, why I cannot see the recorder. Okay, view, recording in process. Yes, it's going. Okay, good. All right, so I'm going to open up the computer and let a few people, because we've been dealing with the second initiation today, and the moving forward into the fire, or out of the fire, into the cold and towards a new attention. So maybe some of our attendees have something they would like to share with the group. I'm going to unplug myself and make sure it's never too good to do it this way, but it's the only way you're going to be able to hear. And we are quite loud. Actually, it's quite good. Okay. And now, friends out there in the far world, some of you have been following things. And Francis, oh, we have a few. Okay. So, Francis, I'm going to turn your mute off. You should be good in a minute as soon as I get it to... Oh, my goodness. Why can't I get that off? Uh-oh. 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 I am sharing my screen. There is audio, and I should be able to unmute somebody. Uh-huh. Well, let me try Joanne. Yes, I was successful. I'll try again, Francis. I don't know what's going on. Joanne, hi. Joe?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks again, all of you, for being there for 5 days, because it really is helpful.
That's very good. And make sure you speak up good and strong, because this is not the best computer to...
All right.
Yeah.
In relation to Rule 1, for me, as you were going through it, this last section on page 46, where he gives some more information about that tension
yes.
and the ideas of orientation, the notion of either right timing at the psychological moment or at the exact moment that the soul determines, I thought was pretty fascinating, and I need to ponder on that. As the group, you were sort of relaying some of the dimensions of what the group there is dealing with, which I don't know, but I intuit from that there are some portions of the book that the group might consider together in trying to go to that their decision. And sure. One of those sections is page 341 and over to 344.
Will you make a note of that, somebody, 341 and 344?
Yes. And
making a suggestion of something maybe useful to us here. Yes. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. And the one part of it, which is number 4, I believe, in his on 343, he talks about the group moving to a particular spiritual enterprise. And
yes.
It dawned on me that this group might find that useful. And the other thing I think for myself I found useful in just starting to learn the initiations, more about them, is keeping the diagram that's on page 525 in front of my face.
Okay.
Because if you can look at that, I know somebody has it.
Maybe I'll find
it. It's the diagram that kind of shows vertical kind of cones or vortices
right,
of force coming up.
Yes.
And he puts the initiations along one side as you move up.
Yes.
And the humanity building the Antikoron of the hierarchy in Shambhala
yes.
as you move up. And as you were talking about the second initiation, it occurred to me that you might want to look at that, because from the first initiation to the second initiation, you have three lines of connection. The
yes.
Antikorana we're building, the Sutratma, and then the other line of force. And really consider how in a group formation, how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
How do we continue to hold that point of tension together in some unity? And those are my comments. So I'll just
yes, we have that. We have that diagram up now for the group, and it's something that is very important to consider. And maybe next time, it's in the latter part of the book, and we might go there. It has loads of implications in terms of the vortices and where the points of the initiations happen to be located, and in what vortex they happen to be located. I see a lot of things here which are fascinating. It's kind of interesting that the fifth initiation is sort of at the mouth of the final, well, one of the final vortices, and the sixth is in it. So if I'm reading it properly,
mm-hmm.
The Antikorana is said to be an upright line. And so the triple constituents of the Antikorana have to be woven together to make it. And even animal man is found represented down here in an earlier vortex. Thanks for calling our attention to that. Maybe we'll have a chance to go over it. And thank you for attending and helping us with various of the technical matters as well along the way. I'll have to make sure that I do set up that webinar for tomorrow night, and thanks for the prompt on that. Okay, Joe, appreciate it. Hold on.
Okay.
Now, I tell you what I'm going to do. Francis, I try one more time. I'm having trouble unmuting you. I don't know why that is. I wonder if it's something at your end. I was able to unmute Joe. So let me see if there are other people that I can or cannot unmute, and then I will know whether the problem is here with me, because no matter how I press, I don't seem to be able to unmute you, and I would love to be able to do it. It says, click to unmute. Let me try a different clicker. No. Let me try somebody else. Someone else raised their hand, and let's see if we can possibly unmute you. This is after 5 days. Some of you have been here quite a long time. Others are just coming in and out as best you can. If you have anything you would like to say in summary, you are welcome to do that. Okay. Looking for you. Those of you who are either present or awake. This is sad. The one person who has his hand raised, I can't unmute. There's Francis. Wait a second. If I make him an organizer, I wonder if I can. Wait a second. An organizer has equal rights. Okay. Francis. Oh, now you're still. Oh, even as an organizer, I can't.
Morning, everybody.
Hello, everybody. I got you. Francis.
Hello, everybody.
You're on.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Okay.
Oh, terrific.
Okay.
Right. Sorry to be a cause of that trouble.
We just elevated your status and you became audible.
Well, there's got to be something to that. I can't imagine what it is.
Okay.
In considering, the challenges of the first and second initiation on a group level, I find that if to hold the vision of the effort needed to realize the third initiation, which is universal discipleship, as a group, that both individually and as a group, if to hold that vision or that awareness, point of awareness, is the most useful way to achieve the that which must be overcome on the first and second initiations. Mm. Another way of saying it is that if you approach these directly, if you approach the challenges of the first and second initiation directly, they seem in a sense insurmountable. Mm. To clear every aspect of a group astral problems away, but to pitch it one degree higher seems to bring in, or it would seem that it's possible that holding the point of tension at the third initiation makes it possible to bring the energy in that clears the way to achieve the first and second.
I think it's a very, very good point, and of course, DK has given these third initiation studies to people that he knows are basically involved in the first and second initiation processes. So there's a motive to the madness, I think. Sometimes when you try to attain something higher than where you presently are working, the attainment of what you must do becomes easier. Now, I have a simple and funny analogy. Have you ever let's say been lifting weights or lifting boxes, let's just say, and you lift something very, very heavy and you carry it from one place to another, and then you look at something else which you think is also heavy, so you approach it with the same attitude of body, but in fact it's not heavy anymore, it's lighter. It just appeared heavy, and because you've lifted the heavy thing, you can lift the other thing much easier. It almost flies out of your hand. Have you ever had that experience? I've been moving my house a lot, you know, so sometimes I don't know whether I have a heavy box or a light box. And after I pick up a heavy box, which is like striving for the third initiation, you know, I come back and pick up something that looks like it might be heavy, but it's light suddenly, and I can lift it up. So striving for the higher objective can sometimes make the lesser objective easier to accomplish. Appreciate your thoughts on that, Francis.
This ties into the as-if concept, because yes. The as-if is always beyond ourselves.
Exactly, exactly. And yet somehow we exercise certain needed faculties with this as-if process. So, yes, indeed. Thank you so much. Francis from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Now I'll come back over here and hope that I don't have any problem with, I have Elena. And everybody's smiling, Elena. Okay. I succeeded in unmuting you, Elena. You are now on.
I just raised my hand to tell you that you should try. You were asking, can somebody lift their hand to help you with your problem there?
Yes, and so
not that. I just would like to, now I am on, I would like to just to thank you and everybody that I was part of these 5 days, which I have dedicated, you know, canceling all my other activities to be present, and I found it very worthwhile. That I have confirmed many things, I have clarified many things in relation, for example, to the Kriya called light and its effects through its various levels in a more practical way. Then, you know, the alignment extension from just the soul, mind, brain to the will.
Yes.
And what kind of energy, you know, we're getting through there. The burning ground processes, the clarification of the head and what is happening more on the etheric and on the physical processes through the light in the head. You know, this has been all very valuable. As to the first and second initiation, you know, I have many, many, many notes on this initiation, as you can imagine.
Of course.
From various aspects, astrological, psychological, ray chakras, and so on. So, you know, there is no time or point for me to go into the details of it. I have just one tiny question.
Uh-oh. Just one tiny question. Uh-oh. Okay.
Could you clarify the number of the members of the new group of World Service? What number did you say? 404?
Wasn't there something like in the 1930s, didn't he say there was about 400 members? Or did he say 404? Yeah, I think he had a specific number in a treatise on white magic, and it was right around the number 400, but I seem to remember it was slightly more, so that it suggested that he actually had a count on who they were. But by now, of course...
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, because, you know... I am thinking of that number, if it's really 404, that, you know, I am associating this number with the number of the second degree members of
that group. Yes, exactly. I thought of that too. I thought of that too, that in order to be a member of the new group of world servers, you have to be really, he says, a second degree initiate. So if you're saying the true members are about 400 or so, then then maybe, in fact, he's giving us a hint about the number of initiates of that type at that time.
Right. And if it was really, you know, that's why I asked the number, if it was really 404, we have 4 and 4 is 8, and it's the 8th petal.
Yes, interesting. Interesting.
Which is associated with the second degree. So that would be the real, you know, confirmation that he is really talking with that number of the number of the group, you know, of the members of the new group of World Service.
Exactly, exactly.
Even if not, is the 404 exactly, then, you know, I still think that he would not give any kind of number, just, you know, there are so many members on the three levels of the new group World Service, but the real number is the second degree.
Yes, yes, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, I would like to be able to find that, but I can't go searching for it right at this moment. Maybe you can dig it up somehow. It is a very interesting idea. But now, of course, he tells us that there can be thousands who take the second degree. So,
yes,
and probably from the kind of service activities we've seen in the last decades, there are many members of the new group of world servers. And probably...
Yes, but... Yeah, but as you know, in the externalization of the hierarchy, where he goes in the real details of the division, of the division of the levels, you know, on the fringes, or the goodwill people, and so there are so many of them.
So many.
But the inner group is the group of the second degree, and above that is only members of hierarchy. It's the hierarchy itself.
Yes. I have, well, anyway, I don't want to talk too long about this, but I've gotten in some conversations with people who have said that, Keith Bailey is one, that at the very heart of the new group of world servers are some initiates of the fourth degree, even. So this is another angle, you know. Yes.
Yes, well, that's obviously in every group there is at least one fourth degree initiate, but, you know, I'm speaking of the principle of the second degree being part, you know, of the new group of world service.
Exactly.
So anyway, I don't want to go into other things. I just want to, you know, thank everybody and you and generate more questions there for you.
Helena, if you went on, I know we would all be sitting here through dinner, but that would be okay. thank you for your participation and your very interesting questions. Appreciate that. Okay, we'll talk to you a little later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Elena is very exacting, you see.
That was a tiny question.
That was a tiny question. Yes, that was a tiny question. It could have been more, of course. Well, I'm just going to have to invite her to teach some of these things, because she does very well with it, and she, you know, is very precise in what she lays out for people. So, are there any other folks who would like to say anything, including goodbye? Yeah, we are almost to that point now. The dinner bell will ring in 4 minutes, and we are to the point where we have completed our work together. So looking for you, if there are any, you are welcome. And if not, we will say the mantram of the new group of world servers together. And I'd just like to thank you for attending. I'll mention your names, Andrew, Catherine, Celeste, Elena, Joe, Laura. I guess you're new here, Laura. Welcome. Lynn, Mar. Hi, Mar. Mauricio, Rick Good. You know Rick. He's here, too. Sam from Portland, and Stephen Renneberg from Sydney, Australia, last I remember. So we have this kind of worldwide representation here. Very happy to see you all. So friends, I think we will close. I guess I'll go back on a better type of, a better quality of sound. If they give you enough rope, you know. Whoops. What's going on? Okay. All right. We're going to have our closing of the new group of world servers. Okay, and what I'll do is, we all ought to know this, of course, but I will just act as if we don't. Whoops. Okay. May the power of the... All right, here we go. This is it. And just think, there are 14 of these rules. Oh my. Okay. Tell ya. Pretty soon we'll know our stuff. 7 years, or could be 14 years, depending. Or maybe you'd like to have one class every 2 years. Then I think we could go to, let's just add 30 years. 2040. Yeah, okay. Oh.
May the power of the one life pour through the group of all true servers. May the love of the one soul characterize the lives of all who seek to aid the great ones. May we fulfill our part in the one work through self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech. Very good. And I'll unmute our folks out there so they can, you know, I think I will. I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best to try to make it possible for everybody to say one united something, united, good, bye.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. Nice to see you.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
And I just, I'll unmute you. Say it again so the group can hear it. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I had my earplugs in, so earphones in, so they couldn't hear. Nice to have you join us. It does give the international group dimension. Remember that an ashram is, he tells, an international group. He says that. Okay, so that gives us that. So thanks, everybody. Thank you. All right. Great. So we get back together at 7-ish or so. Is that correct?
That's a 7.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. And I'll just start turning off. What is it? Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. I know I'm a little bit of a driving person, okay? So I know that I tend to drive onward when some people might wish that I would just relent. But, see, someone thinks that's funny. Someone thinks that's funny. But anyway, we did get the job done, and now we have plenty on. Okay, very good.